We left off with in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. We talked about the different ministries, the gifts that were given in Ephesians. We mentioned that there is a list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, and in Romans chapter 12 is another list of gifts. This list of gifts that we saw here was primarily to do was gifts to the church in a sense that it was gifts of positions or offices to the church. Evangelists, pastor, teachers, apostles, and prophets. And as we looked at those different ones, we saw the benefit of each one to the work of the ministry, and the purpose of it was to build up the body of Christ. You remember? And it was there's a purpose in that. We build up the body of Christ. We build up the body of Christ so that we come to the unity of the faith. Now, Calvin, I guess, was preaching in Margaree on Sunday, and he was speaking about, I think, as I was told. Now, sometimes stories change with the telling, but he was speaking about the unity of God's people and the love that we're to have for one another. I think that's basically, okay, so people were listening. Right, and the necessity that, you see, we come to the unity of the faith. There is this, remember we saw the seven ones that were a little earlier in this chapter? And one of them was one faith. Remember that? That's one body of doctrine. And these are the essential things that we are surrounded by. And when it says those seven ones, that is the primary things that we looked at that cause for us to be in unity. You can't throw away doctrine. You can't throw away the cross. You can't throw away the necessity of a new birth. You can't throw away the Holy Spirit or Jesus or the Father or all of these things. You can't throw away the spiritual baptism that is referred to in that passage. Remember, we said water baptism was only an outward sign of that inward baptism, the real baptism, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't throw away any of these things. They are essential oneness things that we need to know and experience. And so the purpose of these gifted ones is to build up the body of Christ, that we might be built up so that we come in the unity of the faith. God's passion and desire is for unity. His prayer, Jesus' prayer, was that we all might be what?
One.
Now remember, I don't need to remind you, but I think I'll just say it. Remember that the Bible also says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers, because there's no common ground, right? And that's and it's essential truth as well. So when it talks about us all becoming one, it's not talking about denominational unity, but it is talking about body unity. That is, every true believer should recognize that we're part of a greater body and that we are one together. It should be represented by local churches in given geographical areas where there is unity, where the people of God are one together. That is the expression, that's the expression of the universal church is seen in the local geographical gathering. So as much as possible, this is God's passion and desire, that we come to the unity of the faith. And not only unity of the faith, but the next one is what? The knowledge of the Son of God. That we see here that this unity is based upon a person, and that is the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ. This knowledge of the Son of God, this growing in our understanding of who he is, of being intimate with him, of walking with him. And remember that sometimes the word knowledge can just mean getting something in your head. But generally in the New Testament, when it talks about knowledge, it talks about intimately knowing someone. For example, it speaks in the New Testament of Adam, or in the Old Testament, Adam knew his wife. That's the kind of term that was used. And it speaks of Joseph did not know his wife in intimate relations until Jesus was born. So just letting you know that Mary is not a perpetual virgin, okay? After Jesus was born, Mary had other children, right? Mm-hmm. But this knowledge here of the Son of God is not just a head knowing some facts about God, but it is an intimate knowledge. And that knowledge can only be received and reciprocated by the person of the Holy Spirit. Can only be. Only the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us, because that's what it tells us in the Gospel of John. And so he takes what is of Christ and he reveals it to us. the knowledge of the Son of God. And then it says something incredible here, to a perfect man. So God wants us to be
perfect.
Did you know that it actually commands us in Peter, it says, be you perfect, for I am perfect? Or Jesus said to be perfect. He said, in Peter it says, be holy, for I am holy. How in the world can you be perfect? Or what does this word actually mean? What do you think it might mean? Whoops, lost my spot here. Where did I go here?
At least trying to live as Jesus did. Love one another.
Some people say that perfect means mature.
And that's really what it actually means here. It means to be complete. For us to be complete. And there it is in the NLT. It says what? Where are we at here? We be mature in the Lord. You see? And I'll give you a comparison of different translations here. Onto a full-grown man. You see it there? Right? This one says to full growth. This one, we will be mature to a perfect man. Full-grown man to mature manhood. Become mature people. Mature adulthood. Perfect man. Perfect man, full grown. So we get the picture here.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up into faith, becoming mature. And that's the idea that's behind this word here that we can see here. Let me go back to the Bible here. Back to here. So this is the perfect man, the mature person. And then it says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, I think I got a long ways to go. When you read this, this is the passion and plan and God and design of God, is that we become mature and we grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That God wants the fullness of Christ to be in us. That's amazing, isn't it? This is what he wants. That's why we see a little bit later on in Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Right? You can't have the fullness of Christ without the fullness of the Spirit, right? But it's God's command, it's God's passion, it's God's desire. But we can see here that there is a process that's given here in this passage of Scripture, in Ephesians 4:11 down, that teaches us that there are gifted people given to the church to grow us up, to cause us to walk in unity, to know the truth of who the Son of God is, to embrace the truths of the Son of God, and that it's not only for the purpose of filling our heads with knowledge, but that we are actually growing, that we are actually becoming more mature, so that we are actually becoming more Christ-like in our conduct, in our nature, in our thinking, and everything that is about us. And so there is process involved, as well as presence. There is the presence of the Holy Spirit that causes these things to be able to happen, because without the Holy Spirit it cannot happen, but there is still process involved. And that's why we need apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors, teachers. That's why we need people to be involved in ministry to the church. Not only these gifts, but that's why we need all the gifts that are in 1 Corinthians. All of the gifts that are listed there all have a part and a parcel in growing us, and all the gifts that are in the book of Romans chapter 12. And other gifts that may be listed in other parts of Scripture. And whatever those gifts are, whether it's tongues or whether it's helps or whether it's administrations or whether it's all of these gifts, because we're all a body, as 1 Corinthians 12 says, and each one is a part of the body, each one is a member of that body, and we can't get along without each other, and we also can't get along. We're not going to grow to the maturity and the fullness that we need to grow to without the gifts of God being exercised, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and all of the gifts. And we don't want to say that, you know, well, we don't need this one, or we don't need that one, or we don't need this other one. We needed all of the foundational gifts that are given here, and these are foundational ones. They are not unimportant. They are given the listings, even in 1 Corinthians. These are listed, and they're given first priority. They're given first priority as gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church, and they need to be recognized in that way, so that we do not, you know, elevate. There's a priority of gifts, listings of gifts, because of the general ministry that we receive from these gifts, which you may not receive from a specific other ministry, such as tongues or some of the other ones. That is not saying they're not important, but everyone has its place. And these are the listings that are given here for the general equipping and for the foundational moving forward of the church. But the passion and the plan and the desire is that we grow up into Christ. If this is not happening, something is wrong along the way. Something is has been missed, right? And that's God's passion and desire for us. And hopefully that as we grow in the church of God and as we, you know, we have people doing ministries, that we are growing. Yeah. Hopefully we're maturing. If we are just accumulating knowledge and going home and we're not maturing, there's no transformational changes in our lives, something's wrong. And we need to pray that through and seek God. Lord, we need all of these things in operation that we might grow into the fullness and the maturity that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm going along like a house on fire. So does anybody have thought that they'd like to add to that or the questions that come to mind?
I just find it interesting. Last night, Doug and I took some time together to pray and to chat, and this is exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
About maturing, how the goal, once you're saved and as a body, is to mature in Christ.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. If that doesn't happen, you know, I mean, if you had a baby and that baby just stopped developing, you'd be concerned, wouldn't you? You'd be going to the doctor. You'd be saying, well, something's wrong. My baby's not developing. And sometimes, sadly, that does happen, doesn't it? You'd be looking to see, well, how can this be rectified? And it's the same thing in the Christian church. We might be a new believer, but God wants us to become mature. But, you know, in this speaks here, it speaks about all of us together. It's not just speaking about, oh, we want one person to become mature, but he wants all of us to come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, two complete persons, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's not, God just doesn't want, oh, this person to grow and that person not to. He wants all of us to grow together. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
And
that's what he wants.
You know, Bible studies and Christian fellowship, prayer.
Absolutely. Together. They all have that effect because hopefully in these places that the gifts of God are being expressed and that there's things that are happening that are causing us to grow up in Christ.
Well, there's the place too where you wanted to give them meat and all they still wanted milk.
Yeah, that's in Hebrews. Right. Hebrews chapter 6 says, I wanted to feed you with meat, but you weren't ready. I think it was. No, it was Corinthians, sorry. But he does refer to that with the meat in Hebrews 6 as well, I think. But that's right. He said, I wanted to feed you with meat, but I couldn't because you weren't ready for it. Yeah. I'll have to get that verse. I think it's in 1 Corinthians, is it? Meat and milk.
Then there's milk of the word, too.
Yeah, the sincere milk of the word. You might grow thereby. Just a sec.
Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3.
Yeah. There was so much immaturity there in the church. Want to read that?
1 Corinthians 3:1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as on the spiritual, but as on the carnal, even as on the babe to Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are unable to bear it, neither yet are you able, for you are yet carnal. For if there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?
Yeah. And so that idea here is, he says, you haven't grown up. You've got stunted. They were stunted in their growth. And God wants us to grow up into the fullness, the maturity that he has for us in Christ. So don't settle for where you are. The Lord is not settling for that. His passion desires for us to grow up. And sometimes people say to you, well, why don't you grow up? I've had that said to me a few times, especially in my younger years. And, you know, and sometimes that is really what needs to happen with us. We need to grow up. And this is what God's passion and plan is. Now, that doesn't mean we expect of someone who's a new Christian to be fully mature, right? Matter of fact, one of the qualifications for someone who's in leadership is that they're not a novice, somebody who's a brand new believer, because they can be. They can get easily swayed or tempted. And this is one of the things that he brings out here in Ephesians 4:14. We should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. God doesn't want us to be easily deceived. And as we grow in God, we're not going to be so easily deceived. We're going to see through the false teaching that might come or deceptions that might come our way. But when you're a new believer, it's like a friend of mine, a guy who was hitchhiking to around the Cabot Trail, and he had a dog, and it was in, oh, it was early, it was in April. And I think the sun was shining, and it was quite warm in Toronto. And he decided he was going to come and see the East Coast. But he came to find himself. He was a man in despair. And he was hitchhiking with his dog, and Obi Dupre and I were traveling to Pleasant Bay to do a Bible study, and we picked this guy up with his dog up along the side of the road. And I said, where are you going to sleep tonight? Well, he said, I got a tent, but, and it was like -2 or -3. He said, I didn't think it would be this cold there. I said, well, listen, we're going to a Bible study in Pleasant Bay. Do you want to join us? Well, if that's okay. I said, yes. And I said, it's up to you. If you want to stay, I'm sure that somebody will put you up there. But if you'd like to come and stay at my house, you're welcome to do that too. So he took me up on it. He stayed for a couple of days, came to the Bible study, stayed for a few days. And I was fishing Gaspereau at the time, came down to the river, and we talked almost continually. And the Lord touched him, and he got saved. And he was so excited about being a Christian. And he went back to where he was from. It was actually Kingston, I think. And he went back to Kingston, and he was like, I urged him, find other Christians, you know, and get with them and grow. So he was happened to be walking down the street one day, and he saw two gentlemen dressed with suits and ties and carrying what he thought were Bibles. And he went over, he said, what are you guys doing? We're Christians. Well, I'm a Christian too. And so, oh, wow, this is exciting. So he went with them, and I hadn't heard from him, you know, after that had happened. And it was probably 6 months later, I went to Toronto to do some ministry, and I wanted to find him, and I did get a hold of his mother's number. Anyway, I found him, and I called him. And the first thing he said to me, oh, he said, this is great. He said, can I bring the scriptures over so we can talk? When he said scriptures, I knew there was something wrong. Because usually you don't call the Bible the scriptures, you call it the scripture, right?
Yeah.
And once he came over, sure enough, who had he got entangled with?
Mormons.
The Mormons.
Mormons.
Yeah. And he was all confused, but he didn't, like, he said, well, they said they were Christians, and, you know, they were bringing him along. And so I said, well, we're going to need to, I'm willing, the guy who was his kind of mentor was a professor at University of Toronto. And he was meeting with him once a week. And I said, well, you call him, it's okay at me. And the guy said it was okay. So I said, we went there, and I said, you know, we're not on the same page here. And to make the long story short, by the time we finished with that meeting, my friend Rob saw the error of this. But he was an infant. There's a lot of stuff he didn't know. He knew he was saved, but they were taking him down other paths that were not right.
Yeah.
But when we went to the scriptures, because before long, we're both in agreement that the Bible is the Word of God. And this fellow, this Mormon, said, yes. He said, that's true. So I said, I'm not in agreement that Joseph Smith's writings are the Word of God, but this is common ground we can work on. So let's just stay in the Bible for tonight. I said, you know, some other time you can talk about Joseph Smith, but let's just see what the Bible says. And if you're in agreement that the Bible is absolutely true and everything is true, absolutely, he said. We weren't in two lines of scripture before he started to say, yes, but Joseph Smith said, yes, but it says this in the Book of Mormon. I said, oh, I thought we had already had an agreement. I said, if we know that this is right, this was here long before the Book of Mormon was here. You have to agree with that. Yes, I agree with that. Okay, then. I said, we're going to agree with what's here. We can't take away from what's here. If this is what it says, we have to agree to it. And the light came on for Rob. He was free from that. And he has gone on to walk with Jesus in a powerful way. But he had gotten tossed to and fro with the wind of doctrine. And that can happen to true believers. They can get tossed about, can't they?
Yeah.
And so we need to be on our guard. Not everybody who says that they belong to Jesus really does. And there's some pretty, can be some pretty, where you're very isolated here.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Breton is very isolated in a lot of ways. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of kooky people out there running around with some crazy ideas.
Yeah.
Now you'll pick up sometimes on the television, pick up the odd one. But it's amazing what's out there. Every kind of thing you could ever imagine is going on. and some of it very far away from Scripture. We need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. We need to know Jesus. We need to grow in maturity. Mm-hmm. We need to be in unity.
Talking about him, I was thinking about it. The Bible says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yes.
And he was becoming more and more entangled and in bondage.
Yes.
And
yeah.
You know what I mean? But God's word takes all that stuff away.
Set him free, yeah. He went on, he got married, and he went on to Times Square Church, which is Dave Wilkerson's church. Mm-hmm. And he was in Dave Wilkerson's church doing music ministry for, and he's probably still there doing it now. Yeah, he was involved in their big children's choir, and because he was an incredible musician, just like he was I don't know what level guitarist he was, but he was a classical guitarist. He could do anything.
What the faithfulness of God, though, that God saw him going in error.
Yes.
But had you reconnect with him.
That's right.
That's the faithfulness of the Lord.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Yep. It's amazing how the pursuit of God. I mean, God pursued him here. I mean, here's a guy coming, looking, trying to find himself, hadn't a clue. He knew he was lost. He didn't know what. He didn't know anything about the Bible. He wasn't looking for the Bible. He just wanted to know, why am I here? He was a depressed man. And yet there the Lord met him as a seeking sinner. He met a seeking Savior. And God brought him through. So it's wonderful.
Are you still in touch with him?
Huh?
Are you still in touch with him?
Since a couple of years, I haven't heard from him. Yeah. Yeah. He sent me a CD of music that he had produced with Times Square Church there a few years back. But no, I haven't talked to him in a few years now. And so we see that in the process of all of this, I love this verse of Scripture. I've been reminded of it sometimes in my own life, the importance of it. The truth, you can't get rid of the truth. One of the proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hang on to the truth. You do not compromise with the truth. But there's something about speaking the truth in love that has a lot more effective than hammering somebody over the head with it, right? I mean, I could know the truth, and as a young believer, I knew what the truth was, but I just didn't know how to speak it in love, because I didn't know a lot about love at first. And you know, I would be more likely to carry a 10-pound Bible. And I told you this story, but there was a guy in New York who was in jail, and he was a mafia guy. He had been like into everything, and he got saved in jail. And when he got saved in the prison, and he was wanting to share the gospel with the other people, but he had still had a temper. I mean, he was not a nice cat, right? But he had just come to know the Lord. He was a young Christian. And anyway, he was in the men's washroom, and another prisoner came in, and they were ragging him about his Christianity, of course, right? And so the guy said something derogatory about your, you know, Bible or whatever, and gave him a hard time. He grabbed his Bible, and he took it, and he wailed him right in the nose with the Bible. The Christian did, right? Broke his nose and put him in the hospital. So once that happened, he felt so bad. And he realized, I blew my testimony. So he went to the infirmary to see the guy. And when he went to see the guy's laying there with a broken nose, getting it all patched up. And he says, man, he said, I shouldn't have done that. That's not what Jesus would have done. And the guy said to him, man, if that means so much to you, I want to find out about it myself. So sometimes God overrides our actions, you know.
Yeah.
And I can look back and say, oh man, how did anybody ever get saved when I started out? But people did get saved in spite of that. But as we grow up, he expects us to be speaking the truth in love, right?
Yeah.
In love. Because the truth without love, though I have the tongues of men and of angels, what am I? A sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
It doesn't count for anything. So the truth is a wonderful thing, but there must be love welded with it. And love, or attempting to have love without the truth, there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Just the light.
Because, for example, here's a verse. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Right? Sometimes you have to love me enough to tell me where I'm going wrong. I might not like to hear it. But tell me anyway, right? And, you know, I'm telling you that now, to do that to me. I won't like it when you do, but I'll get used to it. But if you love me in the process, hopefully I'll accept it. And hopefully each one of us will too. Nobody likes being corrected, but oh, to speak the truth in love.
And nobody's perfect. I mean, stone sharpens stone, right?
That's
the whole
true.
Purpose of the church is that.
Yeah.
There's a way of saying it and a place to say it too.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He had the perfect balance between grace and truth.
Yeah.
Some said if it's all truth, maybe too hard.
Yeah.
And if it's all grace, it turns to grace and anything slides.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
I
both together.
To
yes, sure.
I'm excited, but Jennifer's kind of shy, but she has accepted Jesus, and I I want to credit all of you for that, because I've been praying for her since she came here, but
right.
Really, she felt the Holy Spirit in fellowship.
That's awesome. So that's just past week? Wonderful.
Week and a half. She's downloaded all the Christian music on her MP3. She's
awesome.
Playing it all the time. So
that is so sweet. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you now.
Yes.
Thank you for salvation in Shedding Camp, Lord. This is what we've been asking for. Oh, God. Bless her. Bless her young life, Lord. Grow her in God, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. We praise you. Praise you. Thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Is your daughter?
No, she's a babysitter, and she was babysitting all last year, but coming here, but then she lives so far away that she said, I don't know if I'll be able to come here every day to babysit. And I said, well, would you like to move in? Because we have 5 bedrooms, and there's lots of room. And she just said yes, and ever since she moved in, just
yeah.
The Holy Spirit. Just
she was, even Sunday, I said, wow, she is so into whatever's being said.
And
it was
okay, first she didn't believe in God at all.
Right.
Then all of a sudden she started to say, I believe there is God, yes. And then
yeah.
We started to talk about Jesus, and
that's
she just said, everybody should know this. Like, and she
yeah.
Just opened her eyes.
Yeah, that's
very
awesome.
Very
God?
Yeah.
Mm. That's great.
What kind of music would she like?
I'd be more contemporary.
The contemporary stuff, Brit, Nicole.
Not
Edward.
Probably not
Edward.
Not Edward.
You probably don't know.
I knew what that question meant.
Yeah, I know exactly.
She's introducing me to stuff I didn't know was up there, so it's really contemporary.
Yeah.
That's great. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for adding to the body of Christ. And then, you know, it doesn't, it's, oh, I jumped ahead here. Speaking of the love, we're going to grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. And this is, there's that growing up again, right? There's that maturing again. And it's into Christ. And it's into the body. Remember, you know, if you tried to take the New Testament and you took out, you said, well, look, it's me and Jesus. We don't need other people. I've got a relationship with Jesus. A, you know, I've heard referred to, I think it was Tom T. Hall wrote a song or sung a song. Me and Jesus got our own thing going.
Yeah,
we don't need
yeah.
anybody to tell us what it's all about.
Yeah.
Boy, that song doesn't match the New Testament. Right?
Yeah.
If you took out all the references to body, to being together, mm-hmm. to ministering to one another, to loving one another, to everything that has to do with that, you wouldn't have much New Testament left. You wouldn't. It's full of it. It's the whole purpose of calling us into Christ is to call us not only into relationship with him, but relationship to one another. As we said in on Sunday, as we were looking in Genesis, and we'll be back in Genesis the next time, that God had established community, didn't he? With himself, God is community without anybody because there's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But he invited us into community with him. And with one another. That's God's passion and plan. And we can't get away from that. We're not to be off on our own. From whom the whole body, that is every part of the body, joined and knit together but what every joint supplies. You can't have, you know, the arm doesn't stay very well together if this joint is not there. According to the effective working, which he works, every part does its share. Every part of the body is doing its part, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So he's giving the picture of a human body, and he's saying we're connected. And if it's working properly, and every part is doing its part, we're growing together in love. Isn't that beautiful? That's God's plan. That's God's passion. That this is the way that he wants us to live. And this is his call upon our lives.
Jesus the head. Christ is the head?
Yes.
So if you take human body, everything comes from the brain. You can't move your finger without the message from the brain. So the head for the body, all directions should come from Christ.
Yeah.
But then it's such a powerful illustration because it's very, the body has to work together. I find hydrogen on the one hand, I need the other hand held.
Yeah.
You can't walk with one leg. The body has to work together.
Well, if one leg's going this way and one leg's going that way.
There has to be a working together.
Yeah.
It has to get anything done.
It's true, and really, as someone has said, we're the arms and the legs of Jesus in this world.
Yeah.
And a leg by itself is a pretty useless thing. But a leg connected to a hip bone, connected to another hip bone, connected to another leg, can walk and move forward. Yeah.
Another powerful thing about the body is that we are body of Christ. So the world doesn't see Christ today. They just see us.
Yes.
And how we behave is how Christ is represented in the world.
That's right. Very true.
But we're living epistles. We're being read every day.
Yeah.
Read by men. That's right. Yeah. Letters read by men. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's what Jesus said. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, mm-hmm. by the love you have towards one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so he says, so there, I'm saying this, therefore, there's one of those therefores, and when you see a therefore, what's it there for? The reason why it's there is because he's saying about where we're, the direction that we're supposed to be going in, right? The direction that God's called us to. And then he says, this is opposite to the direction that the world is going in. The direction that unbelievers are going in is an opposite direction to this, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
This is not. This is what we just read. There is not the way people live.
I think more so today than ever.
Well, the independence is so strong today.
I mean, there used to be a village, a knitting of a village, and there was also families that lived together. There would be intergenerational. Right. Mm-hmm. Today we don't have.
It's close true. To that. Yeah. And so he says, I testify in the Lord. And so he's saying, this is from the Lord here. You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. And so there's an emptiness in the mind, or let's give you another word. Is there, as the Gentiles, they're hopelessly confused. Or let's see what the NIV uses here. The futility of their thinking. And so he said, don't walk this way. Don't walk in an empty way. You no longer walk the way you once did. God changed your minds. The Bible says we are to be renewed in our mind, renewed in the spirit of our mind. And that's in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Because we're a new creation, or verse 2. We're new creations. God has made us new. We're one. Before we're a Christian, we're walking in one direction, and now we're walking in a different direction. It's definitely the opposite way. There's no way that you're walking the same way. When someone becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, God changes them, and they begin to walk in a whole different direction. The world is walking in the futility in the mind. Their understanding is what?
Darkened.
Darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. They're separated from the life of God because of what?
Ignorance.
The ignorance that is in them. And the blindness of their heart. That's a tragic, isn't it? Those are tragic words, really, when you think about how lost a lost person is.
Yeah.
But don't forget, Once you were. Once I was lost, but now I'm found, right? Don't forget that at one time you were in the same condition. We saw this.
Are you okay?
It's just
yeah,
the cat.
I just messed up on my back.
No, the big cat.
It's the cat. He's gone through.
I thought Yeshua was there. I saw her.
I just felt something on my back.
Wasn't me. I was sitting right
here. And I knew. I kept my eye on her because I knew she was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kept looking. I kept looking.
See, that felt you, Joe.
That's all right. So you don't walk in this way. Yeah, he sets us free. He delivered us from all of this blindness and darkness. That's where people are without Christ. And remember the passage in Ephesians. Let me go back here. Chapter 2. It speaks about that, right? You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You once walked according to the course of this world, to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them also, once you conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as others were. So this is where you once were, but this is not where you are now because of what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because it says there, 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Passion of the world. These things are admired in the world.
Oh, yes.
They are. Mm-hmm. Greed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Greed is admired.
Yes, it's called ambition.
Yes, that's right. And lustful, sinful behavior, it's admired.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of guys together, and where does their conversation go to? The women, I don't think they ever do that. But the guys, their conversation goes right to the gutter.
Yeah.
Unsaved people.
Women don't do that?
No.
I heard they're worse than men in their washroom.
They put men down, though.
But anyway, we have not learned this in Christ. This is not Christ-like. This is not from God. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, in other words, if you've really heard the voice of God, if Christ has really come... This is anybody who tells you that it's okay to live this way is wrong. It's not okay. You don't live this way and claim the name of Jesus, really, do you? You don't. You forsake these things. You turn away from these things. And people who live this way and claim to be followers of Jesus Christ,
we're just fooling themselves.
Yeah, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Yeah.
Because that's not what you want once you love Jesus and you realize what he's taking you out of.
Now, that isn't to say that you can't struggle with some of these things. Because if you're living, say if you're a Christian, you're a new believer, and you're, you know, hanging around people who are talking, you know, in a wrong way, and you always did that before, are you going to be tempted sometimes to go in that direction?
Yeah.
You are. But hopefully there's a conviction. Yeah. The Spirit of God begins to convict you. Oh, this is not right. I got to get out of this. I got to get away from this.
Yeah.
Right? Or you rebuke it or you do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, if indeed you've heard it, you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And that's where the truth is. It's in Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we've been taught by him. And he's heard. There's three things in here. There is you've heard him. You've been taught by him, so it's a consistent, it's not just one-time voice, but there's a continual teaching, and it all comes through the person of Jesus Christ. He's the only source, the real source of it all. And so there's an encouragement here he's given here. So put off. Put it off. In other words, get rid of concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man is the person that you were before you were a Christian. And that's been put to death. So don't have anything more to do with it. You've been created as a new person. So put off the old man's ways, in other words.
Yep.
Put it away. There's no place for it. I think the Imperials used to sing a song, "Are you living in an old man's rubble?
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening to the father of lies? If you do, then you'll surely be trouble." Something like that. And so, yeah, you don't, this is God's call. He said, we saw the high, lofty calling before this, and then we see that there is still, there can be a tendency or pull in this other direction, and Paul's encouraging him, don't go there. Don't entertain it. Don't live in this way, because this is corrupt. This is what you once were, but you're no longer this in the Lord. Remember, we saw that in Ephesians there was the three principles, sit, walk, and stand, three actions. The first one is find out all the blessings that you have. Find out your position. We did that in the first three chapters. And then we saw at the beginning of chapter 4, it says, I want you to walk in a certain way. Now we're in the walk. And so we see the encouragement, okay, we have to walk in oneness. We have to walk in these in the unity of the Spirit of God. And the seven ones that come with that. We have to walk in the fullness of the fellowship with one another, in the gifts that are given to us, so that we can grow up together in love towards one another. This is the emphasis of the walk. And then what he does here now is he looks at the negative side and says, okay, this is what you once were, but you can't do both now. You can't walk this way and that way. You've got to put all these things off. And so he encourages us to be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. It is a whole new ball game. Renewed in the spirit of your mind, and this is so similar to the passage in Romans chapter 12 that we're going to jump there for a second. We're just about time to quit, I know. Remember this passage as we studied Romans? I beg of you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. I'm glad it said living. Mm-hmm. You don't have to kill yourself, but you have to present your whole life to God, right? Holy, and it's wonderful. It's acceptable to God. God will accept that. Which is your what?
Reasonable service.
It's what you should be doing. Or your spiritual worship, it says in ENIV. And do not be conformed to this world. Sounds similar to what we've just been talking about. Mm-hmm. But be transformed by what?
The renewing
of your mind, so you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Our minds, there's a sense where as soon as you're a Christian, you're made new, you're a new creation. But there's a renewing of the mind in that the patterns of thinking that we've once had need to be broken. A whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living. And that comes as we are not conformed to the world, but we are allowing our minds to be transformed by the power of God.
Well, I'm thankful for our God that forgives our sins, past, present, and future, because there are habits that are hard to
let
go.
Yeah, and sometimes we feel it, don't we? Oh, I said that.
I know.
I did that. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? I find especially with fans, it's difficult.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest.
History, right?
It's the hardest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The ones you love.
The ones that know you the best know just the right button to push.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
My parents live just down the road.
Yeah, and they know the right buttons to push.
Yeah.
So God's looking for us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, for to be made new, whole new way of thinking. And that is a glorious place that God wants us to grow in. He wants us to see, I can't think this way any longer. I'm going in this direction. You mentioned about Jennifer downloading all this Christian music. Before I was saved, I loved music, and I had, I was into the old like Rolling Stones and some of the Beatles and different songs, groups like that, and blues, and I listened to music 24/7. It was like almost all the time I had music playing. As soon as I became a Christian, I said, that's it. I found Christian music, and I took all my little cassette tapes and put little tape on the back. I didn't have enough money to go buy tapes, but I taped up the back of them, and I taped Christian music on all of them, and that's all I would listen to was Christian music. And, sometimes we fill our minds, garbage in, garbage out. Don't fill your mind. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to listen to a nice secular song. I'm not saying that. But I am saying don't fill your mind with your cheating heart. If you want to do that, then you're putting garbage in. And I can tell you that that's the truth of the matter. That's the world's way. To fill your mind with lust and envy and hatred. And a lot of songs have that stuff in them, don't they? They propagate it. And people love it. People love to hear that kind of songs, don't they? That's the kind, because they're living in it, right? They're living in the, all the, you know, the hatred, the envy, the, you know, you cheated on me and I hate you and I'm going to go out and sleep with another one. And it just goes on and on and on. There's no end to it, right? And I tell you that this is not being renewed in the spirit of our mind. This is feeding our mind things that are not good for us and not good for other people either. Instead, let's glorify God. Find songs that speak of good things. Mm-hmm. The Bible says to focus on, what's that?
And TV shows and movies.
Yes, and that's right.
And books.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And
you know what you get when you play country and western backwards?
What?
You get your wife back, your truck, your guitar, your dog.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. Did you take that up yourself?
Oh. I got many more.
You'd love Doug.
That's funny. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God has made you a new creation in true righteousness and holiness. So in other words, the potential is in you now because you've been created new to live a whole new kind of life by the strength and the power of Almighty God. Have you not noticed when you became a Christian that something changed? I hope so. Something changed. Jennifer, something changed. Something changes when we become a Christian. And so this new person is starting to grow. It's only an infant, but we'd say, feed the new baby.
And she, right? You know, one of the things she said is that she's so much happier.
Wow.
She doesn't have the words, but it's the joy of the Lord, right? And we That's have great. A friend who's going through a lot, and she says, I wish she had Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think it's so funny that, you know, before then we couldn't even have that conversation, right. But it's like...
That is so awesome.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
There's a song that is, I've got a brand new way of living. You ever hear that?
I found a new way of living.
No, that's one of them. No, just I got a brand new way of living.
Never heard that one. No.
It's a good one.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the one I'm thinking of is Abiding in the Vine. I think it's called Abiding, Abiding in the Vine. Ah, God is good, isn't he?
It's a brand new song to sing,
In Romans 13, it says to put on Christ, and I'll just read a few. It says, but do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust.
Yeah. I really like that passage because it says, don't make any provision for the flesh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus was up on the mountain, on the top of the temple, and the devil said, throw yourself down. God's going to take care of you anyway. Mm-hmm. A lot of Christians, they know they shouldn't, certain places they shouldn't go. Mm-hmm. They know there's certain things that they shouldn't hang around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they throw them, they get the idea, the devil says, it's okay. God is going to take care of you anyway. Right?
Yeah.
So they throw themselves in front of stuff they shouldn't look at, right?
Yeah.
They throw themselves in with the wrong kind of people, and guess what happens?
They
fail. Right, right. Yes, God can take care of us, and God has every passion to take care of us, but if we're going to willfully walk towards sinful things, thinking God's going to protect me in the middle of this, don't be surprised if there's not going
to
be failure.
The good shepherd has to go and get them back.
Yes, then there's a big mess too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for sure. So, you know, you don't throw yourself into situations that you know is going to cause you grief. I think we're going to have to quit there. We see a lot more as we get down a little further. I know there's one here about watching what comes out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29, we'll look at that next week. No corrupt communication out of your mouth.
Right.
What's that?
And the manna.
Oh, it's the manna next week? Okay. All right. But it begins to speak about what this new man, how it expresses itself. And one of the things that it starts out here with in true righteousness and holiness is what comes out of your mouth, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's quite a bit of what we see here. We'll have to do with that very concept of what's coming out of your mouth. But, you know, you can't clean up your mouth and your tongue without getting your heart cleaned, right? It starts here. When it's right here, then things start coming out here the right way. God changes us. He takes away foul mouths. He takes away, you know, off-color jokes and things that are not right. He takes them away as our hearts are changed. We trust in Jesus. So God is passionate about this, isn't he? He's passionate about us growing up in Christ. He's passionate about it. And he is very fervent about not going in these other directions, because they are damaging and destructive and they have no place in the Christian life.